He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious.
Damn my black soul to hell. Oh, all right. Well, next time.
There was supposed to be
a Will Wheaton cut there.
What did he have to say?
Oh. Oh, boy, that was loud.
I am loud, aren't I?
Is it loud where you are?
Yes, it is.
All right.
I could even hear that.
I was supposed to be. Let's see if I can get this to...
He put the little round object in his mouth.
See, I play that, and then he giggles, and then I play this Will Wheaton cut. Let's see if I can...
The ships begin in a diamond slot formation and climb and loop backwards at a steep angle. And at the peak of the loop, turn over... and accelerate in a new direction.
All right, there you go. That's just for Joni DeRoshi. Well, that wasn't really worth the build-up, was it? Hello. It's 1 minute and 48 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of January in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and germ-laden studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. We appreciate your radio presence and your patronage on this Tuesday. It is Tuesday. And welcome to day 12. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. If you'd like to be part of today's program, telephonically speaking, it is 503-733-2970. You can also email if you'd like, if you want to engage with us in an electronic fashion with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com. We're going to pause for no readily identifiable reason here, and I'm going to finish this cup of coffee. You just talk amongst yourselves. Are you being a courtroom extra? Are you being one of those...
I have been a courtroom extra
before.
Have
you? Did they give you... You know, somehow when I said that, I knew the answer was going to be yes.
I was a reporter.
Did they give you instructions on what to whisper so that you were... Did they give you the actual gibberish that you're supposed to say when you're... So when the guy stands up and says, no, because she was with me on the night of the murder, and then everybody in the background goes... Did they tell you what to say, or did you come up with your own...
Pantomime.
Really?
I was a reporter with a microphone and a mic flag.
Do they Foley in everything else later?
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I didn't finish my coffee. Let's hold that. Okay.
We'll wait.
Pay no attention to the man behind the... I estimate 20 seconds to the completion of this tedious bit.
Feel better?
There we go. That's fantastic. That's how I roll.
Why, you don't sound like Sarah X. Dillon.
No.
We should get to that. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. I am once again now, I'm a scant 3 minutes into the program. I already am veering off the matrix already. Because normally we don't do the introductory portion of today's broadcast until a few minutes later, but I will say that we are joined today by our good friend Kristen Bowie, who has substituted for Sarah Dillon several times. Because Sarah, it's a bad situation. She looks, and I say this with love, Sarah, she looked so bad yesterday. And when I say bad, I just mean you could just tell that something was askew. You could tell that something was amiss with the internal workings of her body. Her immune system was perhaps not as polished as it might ideally be. And by the end of yesterday's program, she was just... I think Scotty,
her face was as red as her hair.
Scotty, did you end up taking her home yesterday? Did you actually drive Sarah back to her place? You're a good person. God bless you, Scotty J.
He's a gentleman and a scholar.
What would we do without suburban gentlemen such as yourself? I know, it was a nice thing of you to do. I went to see her last night because I had some cold medication, the kind that you can't buy legally in Oregon anymore because the government is here to help you. But I found this whole cache of cold medicine in my cupboard recently, the kind that has the actual pseudoephedrine in it, which is the only kind that does any good, and is, of course, that's the kind that they've made illegal. Because it is effective and affordable, they've taken it away. But I found this whole, like, bag of it. It, like, it's shoved way back in the corner of a closet. And so I just guard that like it's gold. But I busted out to my for Sarah last night, and I took it over to her house, and I kind of knock on the door, and she just does that. And she has that, like, the universal uniform of the sick person, which is, like, the ill-fitting T-shirt and the big baggy pajama bottoms, and just sort of shuffles to the door, like, hair all askew, face all puffy. She's probably hating me right now because I'm making her sound terrible. I'm just saying it was very obvious that she was sick. So I gave her some nighttime cold medication, but she let me know this morning that it was working. Probably. Totally. Because it was... it's probably best if I don't come in today.
She deserves the rest.
No, it's true. It was, well, and I think finally, was it you that was telling me this? Is somebody that John, who's the program director for KUPL, finally had to put out, if you are sick, don't come.
Oh, he pulled us all in a meeting.
For the love of God, keep your filth at home. Because everybody here at radio stations is just a big, festering pits of germy disease anyway. And of course, we're like, Tim and I, of course, are next on the firing line because we've, no offense, been sitting 2 feet away from Sarah and just breathing deeply of the germ-laden funk for the last couple of days. And by the time somebody realizes they're sick, of course, that's when all your immune system
late.
Has, yeah, it's too late for, it is too late for me.
But we'll know when we get the Sarah Dillon disease. We'll want to party all night. Party all night.
We'll have dance fever. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Sarah X Dillon, who is recuperating at her homestead. Hello.
Thanks, Rick, for making me sound so attractive.
Well, I'm just finishing the job that Mother Nature started.
You sound wonderful.
Yeah, no, you sound as sultry as ever.
And... Oh, man. I couldn't do that to you guys again. I couldn't be trapped in that little teeny room with you and, like, breathe on you again today.
Yeah, I know. And you really were a trooper. You really did play through the pain yesterday. But... You know, we were talking to our friend Bruce yesterday, and he was just like, oh, that noise in the background, and there's somebody just hacking up a line, and it was you and the ambient noise, just you trying to, and there's nothing more sad than someone trying to stifle the cough because they know it's sort of bothering somebody else or keeping them awake, and that you just can't, it's a whole lot of, you kind of sound like a sick puppy, it's kind of like a...
Well, I know, and it's also disgusting, and I went to Fred Meyer today to go to the pharmacy to see if there's any kind of medication I could get to try and help me, and there's this old lady standing next to me, and she told the pharmacist that I had to get away from her because she didn't want to get sick from me, so that was grossing her out.
That's fantastic. Getting this young lady away from me.
It was so awful. It's like I had the plague. I almost cried. It was so mean.
I don't mean to laugh. How did the nighttime cold medicine that I gave you work out?
It worked okay. I woke up. I'm not coughing as much, but I'm kind of loopy today.
It'll give you a hangover. Yeah. That's what. Yeah, you can't take that. That's why you can't ever take that stuff before you come to work because you will not be able to think the next day.
Well, last night I was coughing so hard that I think I actually threw out my shoulder. Like I can't really sleep because I pulled like some weird muscle on my shoulder.
Oh, no. I think that's the first time I've ever heard of that happening.
I know. It sucks. Yeah, I was, like, coughing, and, I'm just a sad thing. So now I'm sitting at home watching Lady in the Water and laying on my couch.
Hey, did you hear my Wesley Crusher soundbite?
No.
I'll play it again for you. This is for you. Hold on. Wesley Crusher.
The ships begin in a diamond slot formation and climb and loop backwards at a steep angle. And at the peak of the loop, turn over and accelerate in a new direction.
There you go. That's just for you.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Do you have the Michael Jackson one?
Little get well present. I played it before. I'll play it again here. Hold on. Where's the Michael Jackson?
That makes me smile.
Round object in his mouth.
Wait.
He put the little round object in his mouth.
Wait for it.
It was delicious.
Oh, that never gets old.
Oh, it's a cough.
It's the sense that the giggle is a little involuntarily given. You know what I mean? It's almost like the giggle wasn't quite scripted. He just can't contain himself because he's so giddy.
It sounds a little off-hinge.
It does. It sounds a little bit like that's just a little extra Michael Jackson flavor.
He's really very creepy.
He was so overcome by the desire and the joy of putting round objects into his mouth and suckling heartily. But he could no longer keep in the maniacal laugh. All right. Well, in any event, so I'll let you get back to your... Don't you just watch Titanic and cry when you're sick?
No, I watched Titanic yesterday. I walked to Fred Meyer and I bought Mean Girls, and then my roommate has Lady in the Water, so I'm watching that right now. I think I'm going to go to bed for a little while now. I don't feel so hot.
Fantastic. All right. Do you have any questions you want to ask me about my shrink appointment yesterday?
How is your mental well-being? Are you feeling better?
No, not at all. In fact, if possible, I'm feeling worse than I did. Now, I'm not saying this is a play for sympathy. I'm just saying...
I'm sorry.
And suddenly everyone in the room felt awkward. I only bring this up not because I want to dwell on it, but only because I knew it was going to come up, and I didn't want to bring it up without you here.
It's part of the healing process.
I knew that you would be interested, and I knew that you wouldn't be in today, and I didn't want to have to recreate this whole conversation tomorrow with, like, fake spontaneity or whenever it is that you're back.
Well, you know how a therapy works. I mean, it has to get worse before it gets better, so that's probably a good sign.
So I'm told.
It gets worse?
It's like some kind of really rough sex, where it's just you have to go through the painful part, and then it's good later.
Is this with a new therapist?
Yes.
Oh.
I was gonna make a really crude joke, but I'm just not gonna. I'm gonna say that it's.
She's a nice lady.
No, I just can't. I just can't make the joke. Anyway. I went to see the shrink last night, and the problem I found last night is that because he is a colleague of the shrink that I'd seen for many years, who now no longer does. She no longer does that kind of therapy. She's like cashed in and done some horrible Dr. Phil thing. And you know this because her therapy now has a little trademark symbol next to it. It's like, you know, come see Noreen so-and-so for, you know, and it's like, you know, breakthroughs in love or whatever. And then like TM right next to it. And everything she does is like a 4-day weekend retreat that costs $900. So she's clearly moved on to some more lucrative field of counseling instead of talking to crazy poor radio DJs. So she no longer has time for me. So she shunted. Do I sound like I'm feeling rejected? So she shunted me off onto her colleague, who's this big black man. And in a way, I found that was going to be great because I wouldn't feel compelled to try to get him to fall in love with me. I wouldn't feel compelled to like seduce him the way that I do with all of my female shrinks.
Oh, like Reginald Bell Johnson?
I really just sound like a poor man's Tim Savage sometimes. Anyway, and so blah 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 blah. So I go to see the new shrink, and like what?
Reginald Bell Johnson. He was the father on that show that Steve Urkel was on.
Yes. Try to seduce Steve Urkel's father. Anywho, so I go to see this new guy whose name is John, but I made this really terrible mistake. I swear to God, and I almost did this, I almost took in a little dry erase board with me because I wanted to create a graph and a chart to give him all of my 2 years of backstory so that we could get right to my new problems.
Oh, Rick.
And then I didn't know. I forgot to bring anything along, so I found myself trying to do this sort of John Madden NFL chalkboard in the air kind of a thing where I'm trying to draw this sort of schematic of the fractured landscape that is the Rick Emerson mind, and didn't really come together. So I spent about the first 40 minutes trying to lay out all my problems in an easily digestible fashion, and then I spent the last 20 minutes then trying to solve the brand new problem. Like, here you go, here's the backstory, and go. And I was trying to structure the whole thing like an Encyclopedia Brown mystery, where it's like 4 pages of setup, and then the solution is like 3 sentences at the end. And that didn't really work out. So I just left feeling poor and frustrated. Like some really... horrible.
You've got to deal with your past problems before you can deal with your current ones, my friend. Come on, we're both children of therapy. We know that.
No, and the other thing is that he was trying to be up, and he seems like a nice guy, but he was, I don't know, he's a little fuzzy for my taste, you know, a little touchy-feely, you know? Like, I sort of wanted to, because my last therapist was, you know, she was kind of a hard-ass, and I kind of wanted somebody like that who would just sort of smack me around a little bit.
Did he want to give you a hug?
I really do sound messed up. What?
Did he want to give you a hug?
No, he didn't want to give me a hug, but he did have one of those Cliff Huxtable sweaters on. And I was just sort of like,
smoking jacket.
No, not even, that would at least be cool. Anyway, so blah, 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 blah. So I just left feeling like, well, there's, you know, X dollars down the drain and I'm no closer to being happy. Fantastic. And then I just went home and sat in a dark room.
Are you going to go to him again?
Yeah, probably. What the hell? Why not?
You should, Rick. Don't be dismayed. It's only your first time. You're still kind of nutty.
Go to
these things take time.
Thank you. All right. So there you go. So there's the wrap up for that. All right, well, go get better. Lay around the house. Do nothing. Expend no energy. Try to get better, and we will see you with the... Well, I don't know. We'll see you whenever it is you're feeling better, Sarah.
Oh, no, you'll see me tomorrow. I can only... I'm just as crazy as you. I can't miss more than one day.
All right, fantastic.
Feel better, Sarah.
All right, thank you, Kristen, for filling in for me.
No problem.
All
right, Sarah X. Dillon, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the
Hold me.
Show.
Like you did by the lake on the boo.
Hello? Our good friend Aaron Geek in the city of Duran. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing? You sound fantastic.
Yes, I did. Sarah must have breathed on me in the night because now I have the Carillion death flu.
I'm telling you, man, it's like, and there's this CBS plague that is going around, and we all, I mean, it's tiny little rooms and microphones and the air circulatory systems that take, they just take the particles from one lung and put it into another lung somewhere else, and it's a whole lot of bad. Are you at work today?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, it probably
doesn't help you spend your entire weekend decimating your immune system with straight shots of whiskey.
Well, no, that's fine. Whiskey, what do you put on a wound? Alcohol.
Whiskey burns out the flu.
That's right.
All right. Well,
because you can't buy the good stuff over the counter anymore. You got to supplement.
Seriously. And of course, I just guard, and it's not even, I talk about it like it's some sort of exotic medication, but it's really just like the nighttime Alka-Seltzer, but it's the kind that has the pseudoephedrine and diphenhydramine in it, which is a combination that you can't buy, at least not in this state. And so I do guard that stuff like it's the treasure of the Sierra Madre. I'm so careful about who I even let know that I have that. So, anyway. All right.
What we should do, we should get that dude in New Zealand to send us stuff, because they have stuff the FDA hasn't even approved
yet. That's exactly what we should do, is we should have somebody in New Zealand send us a controlled substance over state lines in violation of federal law.
No, it's not a controlled substance, though. It's just under review by the FDA. I used to do it all the time. But from Germany.
Okay. You should get all the stuff that Rick wants over in Vancouver.
That's what I'm saying. You can just drive over to Joni's neck of the woods and buy it all there.
No postage.
Can I get some of that Vancouvian Sudafed?
It's like going to Tijuana. You know what I mean? Well, going to the
Vantucky.
Without a donkey show.
Anywho.
Yeah.
All right. moving forward, here's what we're gonna. And I'm at zero push-ups, by the way, bitches. So that's that we're gonna keep at that today. Here's what I got. What crap that you didn't see was nominated for an Academy Award? Jim Roop will have the answer to that later on. Because Sarah X. Dillon is at home wasting away, like what's her name in that movie about the guy. We have today's top five sick songs. Top five songs about sickness. I should give as just a little corollary to that, or corollary, as our British friends say. These are really just the top five songs about sickness that I happen to have in my jukebox, so they're not really all that good. What else? Will you be watching the State of the Union address? No, you won't. We will, however, natter on about it endlessly, because that's what we do.
So
did I, actually, for a second. I pick up the paper, State of the Union, I'm like, oh, I missed it. And then I realized it tonight. I was confusing it with that speech he gave last week about the flinging more troops into certain doom. But, you know, it's easy to get them confused at this point.
So I missed Jeopardy just because?
yes, you did. let's see. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be in the studio with us. Lisa Goddard will join us by the State of the Union address. What else? Scotty J will be here with the suburban perspective. And I believe that's pretty much it. I don't really know that we have anything else to tease at this point. Oh, and I got to come up with a pirate name, apparently.
What?
I've been told... It's a whole thing. It's a long story.
Oh, is this a thing that I was able to opt out of?
Yes, it was.
Ah.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about it.
Your wristband's going to look fantastic, by the way.
Why don't you shut it, huh? All right. We'll talk about that later. I got to come up with a pirate name.
Oh, and just also, FYI, when you go to those touchy-feely therapists, since I'm going on, like, you know... Appointment number three. It's going to take a long time for them to break that wall down.
Yeah. No, I just wanted there to be, like, an immediate solution, like, now. I just wanted to be able to go, and, like, here's what's going on, and, like, here are all my many problems, and so I want you to tell me what to do.
And yeah, it's fun. Dr. Crush would give you a hypo spray and make it all better.
Exactly. Or just, and this has been my lament, and this is, I swear to God, the last thing I'll say, because no one cares about my stupid mental health. Or, and don't think I don't see those postings on MySpace where people root for my continued craziness because they think it's funny. Don't think that those go unnoticed, because they don't, you bastards.
I'll be back with the solution to the problem after these messages.
I'm just saying that I just wish the guy could hypnotize me to make me deeply stupid, because then I'd be ecstatically happy all the time. And I'd be like all those idiots you see in Tiger, just walking around, big smile on their face, not a thought in their head. Happy as clams.
Just give me the Peter Gibbons treatment.
That's what I'm saying. Happy as clams, dumb as rocks. That's what I want to be. All right. Aaron Geek from the city of Durant. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
There you go. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Why could these... What are people calling about? All right, well, we'll get to these calls here. Joined today as are, well, as are we sometimes, by Kristen Bowie, who's in for Sirius.
Hello.
You've been out like a long day. You've been up since like 4, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
I start at 4:30.
How come you're not sick?
I don't get sick.
Oh, that'd be good.
Oh, I don't get sick. Say it a little louder.
Say it a little louder.
No, because...
Tempt the fate.
No,
tempt
no, no.
All right.
I'm going to Pennsylvania next week. I can't get
there. Oh, that's right. You're going to see Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, yes. I get to watch them pull the rat out of the hole in Punxsutawney.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you have family who live there?
Boyfriend's family.
All right. And so is it, I mean, is it a thing they do every year, or is this like, now if I can ask
this
you.
This is their Super Bowl.
Well, that's what I...
It's a surprise birthday party.
I was going to ask,
groundhog?
Is it that stage in the relationship, you know, where is that like where he takes girls on after like the 18th month or something? Once they last a year and a half, I take them to see the groundhog or something. Or is it, but for another reason, but you're just seeing a groundhog while you're there?
Yeah, we're going to go see the groundhog because his mother was actually born in Punxsutawney on Groundhog's Day.
God, being from Punxsutawney must suck because you know that every time you meet somebody, it's like being named Michael Bolton. Every time you meet somebody, the first 5 minutes of the conversation have got to be about that. It's like telling somebody, it's like I met a guy a while back who went to Columbine, but you know, like way back in the day, and it's like, where'd you go to high school? Columbine. You know, and he's just, you know, and I can tell from the look in his eyes that he's considered like just lying and just creating a fictitious past because he doesn't want to have that conversation. We work with a guy who used to work at Enron, and he'll have to, you know, he'll say that occasionally in part of his, he'll say, well, when we were at Enron, we did this blah, blah, blah promotion. And you can kind of tell the new people in the room because all the heads go and turn and look at him. And you can tell they all want to ask a lot of probing questions.
I wonder how much money he pocketed.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's so what
it
is.
It doesn't help that the city's like sisters and Gresham had a love child either. So.
Punxsutawney?
Yeah.
Is it just toothless morons?
Yeah.
I mean, your boyfriend accepted, of course.
Well, he grew up in Harrisburg, so he's not.
He's a legacy from Harrisburg. A little Animal House reference. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
President Bush's approval ratings are the lowest since Nixon's. Tom Cruise is the Christ of Scientology, declares that wacky cult. Portland police are making friends with kids by giving them free pizza. Look for a policeman near you, kids. And a Hillsboro rabbit hoarder allegedly steals her confiscated rabbit's back.
Excellent. All right, there you go. Rabbits for sale. Pets are meat. All right, what the hell am I doing here? Okay. Well, let's move that. Let's do that in the next, not this, but the next segment there. What the hell am I doing? Well, I guess that's it. Well, I should get some of these calls, because then we got a break and we got Lisa Goddard coming up. It's 503-733-2970. This is Heather. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Sorry, I was in the middle of something. I wanted to let you guys know that the way to not get sick, the minute you feel like you may, is go for the airborne.
Yeah, you know, we're starting a whole conversation.
Are we?
We're starting a whole conversation that I probably don't have the time to finish. My thoughts about that airborne stuff are just so varied and just conflicting. I just don't even, and I know that that's stupid. Like, who sits around and has a lot of thoughts about airborne?
Yeah,
but
seriously.
thanks.
Well, I just want to let you know that I and my son and my mother-in-law and everybody were deathly, deathly sick for about a week and a half.
Yeah.
And I did it. I went out super sick, and I bought 3 jars of airborne. It was my sister-in-law's wedding. And I made everybody that wasn't sick every 3 hours, drink a cup of airborne, and none of them got sick. And there's been about 3 times since then that I've been sick. And my husband did it, and he did not get sick, and he always gets sick.
I believe in it. I just don't even know what to. All right. Well, I'll reserve my thoughts till later, because otherwise I'm going to go way over time. But
Do it.
Scotty is typing that if you chase your airborne with whiskey, it will work even better. So there you go. So word to the wise.
I think I did try that one too, and it did work. I agree.
Just don't try and put the whiskey in your eye.
Seriously.
That doesn't work.
Seriously. Thank you, Heather.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you go. That's Heather. Let's get Helen. Helen, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Well, I think Airborne's not that great, but if you would go to the health food store and get a wellness formula or Defense Plus and start taking that when you start not feeling good, you won't get it. The other thing is, for your wife and for Sarah, is homeopathic. It's called cough, and you put it underneath your tongue, and you take it 2 or 3 times a day, and you will not, your cough will go away very fast.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to say is that you named all these things, Explosion in the Sky, Gomez, OK Go, and Junction Music. It's wonderful. I guess I have to go to the computer to hear it all. I think that you're a wonderful educator of music, so it would be nice if you ever played a little bit of that music for us to learn about it.
It is true that Rick Emerson makes your life better, deeper, and richer in every possible way every single day. So, all right.
And you know, the other thing is, when you laugh, you are healing everyone, because your laugh is so wonderful. I mean, you are just a great human being, and you know, you have to use a lot of energy on the telephone, more so than anybody I've ever heard on the radio, and it probably is a bit exhausting, and there's probably nothing wrong with you. It's just that you rev up so hard.
I also heal lepers.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
All right, thank you, Helen.
And bye.
Bye now.
Bye, Helen.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Well, that was unnerving. Let's break, shall we? It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. You stay right there. Back after this on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Also, I got this story about this guy that stuck his head out of a moving elevator to see why it was going so slowly. That ended badly. Unless you're us. So we'll try to get to that. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Lisa Goddard from CNN coming up in a few. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Dennis Pitzenbarger from The Fuel Show, Scotty J with The Suburban Perspective, Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. It really is just, it's more show than should be legally allowed by law. Let's, where the hell is my, for the love of God. Where the hell is my George from...
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George in Wilsonville. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
George.
I got the news. I got the hookup for you on the suit effort.
I swear to God, I am going to kill myself the next time I start talking... The next time the thought... Here, and better than that, I want one of you to kill me. The next time that I decide that I'm going to start talking about this. Or the flu.
You've pricked a boil here, because I'm still pissed about those stupid teenage girls that took away my Alka-Seltzer Plus.
Yeah, I just... Because every time I say that out loud, immediately look down on the phone line, start filling up with, you know, guy in Tualatin and you don't care about, wants to share a recipe for boiling dirt.
No,
and drinking.
I've got the hookup here. You know what? All you have to do is present your ID and you will get the real deal behind the counter.
It's not true. It's not in Oregon. You're not.
I just read it in Ogonia.
I swear to God, I'm going to hold you down and beat you with a hammer.
Hey, listen, I might enjoy that, but nevertheless, I swear to God, you just go to the counter, you present your ID, and you're allowed up to 3 packs a week. I've read it like 6 times in the newspaper.
Okay.
I thought they changed that.
No.
I don't even care. And that's not a lie. I do care. I'm just having difficulty, regardless of what, and the very nice and somewhat creepy things that Helen said about me. I really am having difficulty conjuring up the energy right now to address this issue, which really does need to be addressed. Please, for once and for freaking all, can we just get a ruling on this from somebody somewhere? And lest anybody think that I'm nattering on about something that people don't care about, this is both local and relatable, you sons of bitches. So this does have to do with people in the Portland area, and it is cold and flu season.
Hey, listen, I'm hopped up on it right now.
You know, I'm not done speaking. So here's the thing. It seems like there are one or two scenarios here. One, you can go into the store and say, here's my ID. May I please have some Sudafed loaded with pseudoephedrine? I promise not to make methamphetamine. Thank you very much. They give it to you, go home, bada bing, bada boom. Or there is what I believe is a situation, which I think Kristen will back me up on, which is that they just altered Oregon law to mean that you have to have a prescription.
This is true.
You have to get a yes, it is true. That's
originally,
what I've been saying.
Originally, you needed an ID, but now you need
a prescription.
God damn it!
Okay, admit that you were wrong.
Ask them all, but listen, all right, I have another tangent then to get off.
I didn't hear any acknowledgement that Rick Emerson was correct.
You are correct,
thank
sir.
Thank you, okay.
I bow in shame. I kneel before thee and
thank
ask
you.
Your forgiveness.
See, and you would have gone on just all ignorant
yeah,
for the rest
but
of your
I,
day.
You know, there was a three-month period where they had that middle period where you could just get it across the counter. But then the doctors wanted their cut. Listen, if George W. Bush is Jim Jones and the Republican Party is the People's Temple...
Let's tread carefully here. The FCC is listening.
That means that... America
mm-hmm.
is the...
Did that go? Is that blinking?
Okay.
All right. We're going to end this call now.
Do that.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Yeah, that call went bad in like four different ways. It's 503-733-2... I like he called up and he just caved, as Eddie Izzard would say, like a flan in a cupboard. Rick, it is absolutely... And then I just pushed and it's just like a Potemkin village. The whole argument came down. It's 503-733-2970. And don't get me started on the airborne thing because it just makes me angry. It just makes me, it fills me, good God. All right. I'm just going to take a moment here. Take a moment of zen. Taking a moment of zen. I know Lisa's listening on hold.
Whatever you need to do.
Here's, just going to take a moment here. I'm going to breathe. All right. Ladies and gentlemen. From the Hill, let's welcome CNN radio correspondent, fashionably attired and with a head full of dangerous thoughts, Lisa Goddard. Hello, Lisa.
Major props on the Potemkin Village reference.
Well, it's what I do. It's my only real skill. hey, would you like to hear the creepiest thing ever?
Always.
Okay, I'm going to tease that. You won't get to hear it till the end of the call. I'm going to dangle that in front of you Casey Kasem style, and then at the end of the call, I will pay it off. Kind of like when Casey Kasem used to go into a break and go, he had 15 number one hits despite being born without a tongue. We'll tell you who he is coming up. And then you got to wait like an hour, and then you don't really care when you get there. So, anyway...
I feel like a victim of your frustrating phone call, but I'll accept it.
No,
I'll accept it.
You know, here the thing is, we keep a pretty tightly, because, you know, you got to be careful sometimes, because you get just, these professional talk radio callers that'll come. You know, you get guys that will just sit around, and they'll call every show three times a day, every single day, because it's what they do. And we're not usually, you know, we don't have a lot of that.
We got
a pretty good base, and we got a pretty good breadth of people call. But that guy, George from Wilsonville, he's some guy with, like, the Jedi Spidey power somehow, where he is able to, just, at any given time, it's like, it doesn't matter how busy the phones are or aren't, he's always able to get through. And so we've actually created his own little sounder for him because he just has this weird omniscience. So, all right. Well, tonight is the State of the Union address.
Yes.
All right. So I was getting this, I was talking to Tim. For a minute I thought it already happened yesterday, and then I realized in my head I was blending it with the speech he gave last week. And I mean, it says here that abbreviating this is the SOTU, which I've never seen before, but they said he's going to be offering some bold proposals. And it seems like he ought to lay off the bold proposals maybe a little bit. It seems like that's not working out for, those aren't working out too cleverly right now. What are the bold proposals that George W. Bush is going to be proposing, do you think?
Well, there's a couple. We've heard a lot about this healthcare idea. He wants to expand the amount of people who have health insurance and the way the president's doing it. Now, this is going to be very complicated, and Democrats and Republicans are going to hurl a lot of numbers around at this. But basically, the idea is, right now, anyone who gets health insurance through their company, probably unlike you, Rick, I don't know how wealthy the company is.
No,
I'm just kidding.
There are the 40 million in this country at the very least who do not.
That's exactly right. So many people are self-insured. People who are self-employed, people who are seasonal workers, farmers. Lots of people don't get insurance through their company. Now, if you do get it through your company, you get a tax break. That what you pay for health insurance is not taxable. So essentially, you're getting a tax break. But everyone else who pays for health insurance on their own does not get a tax break. So the president's saying, I think we need to change that. I want one across-the-board tax deduction for anyone who buys health insurance. It'll be a $7,500 deduction every year. That's it. That's the deal. $15,000 if you're a family. $7,500 for each person. Now, most people, of course, people who don't have insurance would would make out. They would, it would help them to buy health insurance. But there are some people who have good health insurance who, for whom they would lose money on that deal. And there's a lot of people with their calculators, the geeks of Washington, figuring out how many of those people there are, how many stand to gain, stand to lose. But you're going to hear about that tonight. Then the other thing, energy, the president, you know, we're addicted to oil. That was his big announcement last year. Now this year he's going to follow up with a plan to increase what's called the CAFE standards. That's the fuel efficiency standards on cars, essentially making our cars more fuel efficient. He's also going to push more ethanol, those kinds of things. But what he's not going to do, you're not, I don't think he's going to even talk about this, is say there has to be a cap on greenhouse gases emitted from factories and from everywhere else. And that's contrary to what 10 different CEOs came to Washington yesterday, including the CEO of General Electric, Alcoa, Duke Energy, some big companies, PG&E, saying, we want you to put caps on greenhouse gases. We think global warming is for real, and we think it's so bad that now we think it's going to hurt our bottom line. We think the U.S. is behind in coming up with technology. The rest of the world is ahead of us. You got to do something, but tonight in his speech, the president is not going to address that.
All right, well, let's take these all one at a time. A, this business of the I'm sure that most people would, you know, take the tax cut over just actual health care. I'm sure that people don't actually just want a health care system that works. They'd much rather have some promised tax cut, which will probably not materialize to be in the first place. It seems to me, and maybe I'm remembering incorrectly, but it seems to me like George Bush never even followed through on the first tax pledge he made, which was to make that tax cut that he did in his first term. There was a tax cut which he pledged to make permanent, which I'm pretty sure never happened. So
he's still working on that. They did extend. He was able to extend those tax cuts, but not as far as he wanted. And now the Democrats have stepped that back.
I'm still working on it. Somebody needs to buy that guy a watch. Time's a wasting, my friend.
Well, you have to remember, though, most of the president's tax cuts really truly did target the wealthiest Americans. But he says that's because they're the ones who can invest the most in the economy. But it was an issue of who's being targeted on that.
Pardon my cynicism, but a lot of this does seem like he dreams of these initiatives, which may or may not ever pass, but he does it just so he can use the word health care in the State of the Union, which is, it's sort of like, you know what it is? It's like when you're taking your kid to Sears Roebuck and your kid's 3 years old and he's been hopped up on graham crackers and Jell-O all morning, and the kid's squirming around and you got a dog running around and there's three other families waiting in the doorway and the guy's there and he's trying to put your kid up on top of a piece of carpet and behind which is that sort of sky blue background that they use in all those photographs of the three-year-olds, and the kid runs away and mom catches him, and then she realizes the kid's got a runny nose and then his hair's all tangled, and by the time you get that done, he's thrown up on something, then he's got to use the bathroom, you get him back, dad's on the cell phone, the camera guy's yelling at you, three other appointments. So what does the camera guy finally do to get it all done? He takes a puppet and he puts a puppet on his hand. He says, look over here, wah 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 wah, and he waves a puppet so that the kid is momentarily distracted from the fact that nothing is going right. So you can draw your own analogy.
You may have a point. You may have a point there, though. It is true that we do have a healthcare problem, and he is our president, so it's good that he's thinking about it. And same thing with energy. We do have a very serious energy situation down the road. Now, I'm really interested to see if he talks about Social Security, which is another big problem that Washington has been very good at avoiding. He is planning to talk about immigration, though. We know where he stands on that. He wants the guest worker program. And, you know, honestly, he has a shot of getting that. Democrats are really close to where he is on the immigration bill. That's probably the thing that we're going to hear about tonight that has the greatest chance of support from Congress.
Well, let me ask you this. You were talking about the cap on greenhouse gases and so forth, which you're not going to ask. I can never keep track of this. Does the White House believe in global warming or not? Is that in the Easter Bunny column or not with those guys? I can never tell.
They are right on the fence now. They used to firmly deny it. I mean, I think that they denied that it had been proven. They didn't say, well, we know that it's not true, but they said, we have never seen scientific evidence to prove that global warming exists. But now they have come along and said, perhaps global warming exists, and in fact the president himself has made references to global warming. He has admitted that there is global warming going on, that the powers around the world need to pay attention to it, but they have not gone much farther than that. And it's fascinating. I was doing a story a couple weeks ago on the warm weather in Washington and how freaky it was, and I talked to someone from the Park Service because a lot of people worried about the cherry trees here,
right,
the weather is going to mess them up. And it was funny. I said, hey, so does this have to do with global warming? And we'd had a great interview, and this random guy from the Park Service all of a sudden just went silent and said,
I can't talk about that.
Not, I don't know what to say, but I can't talk about it.
I can't, we don't have the National Park Service, and then he flew right into the prepared segment. Sure. We don't have anything to do, that's the National Weather Service, you can call them, here's their number.
I don't mean to sound cynical about this, but if obviously, as you said, even the CEOs and a lot of corporations are saying, well, look, the global warming is real, and greenhouse gases, and we got to get our act together, or it's going to screw us in the bottom line. If even business interests now are acknowledging that it's real, it doesn't seem like there's much logic for George Bush to continue to deny it. So, and I don't mean to sound flip when I say this, but is this, there's just no way around me sounding like an ass when I ask this question, but is this just because he doesn't want to set the precedent of believing in science, because then it undoes everything else that he believes in? Because if you acknowledge
science
that,
versus faith,
I'm just saying, if you acknowledge that science is, you know, what do they call it, real, then it just, it sort of throws everything else into stark relief, I would think. And then it's, you know, and then you can't really, you know, then it's a lot harder to peddle all your, you know, initiatives that are based on worshipping the flying spaghetti monster, you know?
Well, it definitely does make the spaghetti monster tougher. You know, it's hard for me to say. It's possible that it has those huge general overtones. I suspect, but this is me being cynical, I suspect it has more to do with George Bush's buddies and those who helped fund his campaign, and his general perspective as an oil man, you know. Yeah. And I just think that his whole perspective on that is he thinks that business should regulate itself as much as possible. And I think that is theoretically and philosophically he believes that, and it also works out as far as his contributors and what they would like him to do. But I think what you're seeing is business is starting to shift. Now, these 10 companies that came out, they're huge companies, most of them, and including utilities, they're not every company by and large. You know, there still are plenty out there that believe their bottom line has more to be made by spewing carbon dioxide and other gases into the air as long as they can. So I think that it's, things are changing. I think the most forward-looking companies realize that down the road, something's going to need to shift.
All right. What time I'm going to watch it live. What time does this happen tonight? Is it like 6? Or I just want to know what it's going to preempt.
Yeah, that's right. It's 6 o'clock your time. All I think usually, you know, he'll come in, there'll be a lot of applause, a lot of handshaking. So, you know, if you've got something to do right at 6, you can
probably tune in
6:05.
Are the Democrats going to applaud, or are they going to make a statement by just sitting there on their hands and being all stony-faced?
Oh, everybody's so nice during these speeches. They'll applaud, but there'll be plenty of times where you'll see just half of, or maybe even less, of the House, the people seated in the House, stand up. I suspect, especially look for that when it comes to Iraq. It'll be fascinating to see.
Is he even going to mention Iraq?
Yes. He
really?
Is going to talk about Iraq. We don't know what he's going to say. I don't think we don't expect anything new on Iraq. But basically, this is a second chance after, like you said, after his speech a week and a half ago. This is his second chance. It wasn't that long ago. Anyway, this is his second chance to try and sell his ideas to the public.
Yeah, good luck on that.
And he's
going to
do it. All right. You know, okay, before we wrap up, though, Scotty J., was he not supposed to sing me the Rockford Files theme today?
Oh, well spotted, Lisa Goddard. I didn't even remember that was...
Scotty J., this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Well, the best thing is he came in the studio just ruefully shaking his head. Well spotted. Hi,
hey,
Scotty J., how are you today?
Doing pretty good.
All right.
Well, the funny part is I could not think of it, but I knew that I had it for music, and then when I went to look for the music, it's missing because I moved everything to this new hard drive.
Uh-huh. These all sound like rationalizations and justifications.
Yeah, this sounds sketchy. This sounds like you're own press secretary.
No, the thing is, I just kept thinking about it, thinking back to childhood, because I was a child when the Rockford Files was on, and I remember, you know, not only listening to that, but...
All right. Well, let's move along from the excuses. Okay, because you failed.
No, I know it.
Because you have.
I want to tell you.
Because
did,
you have failed the plan,
oh,
and
really?
Therefore.
Are you prepared?
I am prepared.
I was going to give you a list of other acceptable TV songs.
Oh, no, because I finally found this one and
all
practiced
it. Are you? So you will now be singing the Rockford Files thing for Scotty for Lisa Goddard.
Yes.
All right.
I believe it starts out with the doo 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 doo. And then it just busts right into it. Right?
Yes.
That's it.
Second one way to the end.
There, 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 there. That's it. No more.
That's outstanding. I love it.
Thank you.
A Quinn Martin production. All right.
Too bad that you missed the mannerisms that he does while he's singing with us.
All right. Okay, so before we finish here, so I have this to play for you. This is the creepiest thing ever.
Right.
I played this for Roop yesterday. This is a friend of mine found this at a swap meet, which is where all good things come from. This was, she found this there for a dollar. This is, it was a vinyl record that came out in 1983. It was Michael Jackson reading. It was a children's record, and it was Michael Jackson reading in storybook fashion a sort of synopsized version of the movie E.T.
Oh, no.
So it was Michael Jackson kind of reading the E.T. story to, you know, four kids on both sides of a vinyl record, and it's just filled with all of these phrases that, when taken out of context, are just so unbelievably, like, your skin actually crawls off your skeleton to get away from you. And so I have now pulled the best one of those out. It's 14 seconds long. This is Michael Jackson. This is unedited. It's simply excerpted. This is Michael Jackson reading from the, is this turned up, Kristen?
Yeah.
Reading from the E.T. storybook. Here we go.
He put the little round object in his mouth.
It was delicious.
Okay, so there you go.
Oh, my. And do you think he was actually chewing at the time?
I don't know. Let's listen again.
He put the little round object in his mouth.
It was delicious.
Oh,
my goodness.
I don't know whether he's making the suckling noises himself or not. All I can tell you is
something's going on there. I don't need to know. Yeah.
And all I know is that is an unscripted ad-libbed giggle that came from within the dark soul of Michael Jackson himself. So there,
or perhaps the bright side of somewhere.
The softer side of
that
Michael Jackson.
That little area.
The spongier side of Michael. All right. On that off-putting and somewhat awkward note, enjoy the rest of your day. We will talk undoubtedly tomorrow about the State of the Union address.
Excellent.
Until then, have a fantastic afternoon.
And thanks, Scotty J. That was a delight.
Well done, Scotty. All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for all right. I don't even want to start with these the airborne conversations here. We'll do that at a later point in the show, because I got to address it, but I don't know, because then it'll go away. Because if I don't talk about it, then I'm just going to keep getting emails about it. We'll do that at some point. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We will be joined by Tim Riley at the top of the hour for the AM 970 Noon News Hour from the Ministry of Truth. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Stay there. Back after this is Rick Emerson. Show!